In 2001, French paleoanthropologists working in Chad dug up the skull and teeth of a Sahelanthropus chadensis, the oldest known species in the human family tree. They discovered that its foramen magnum, the large opening where the spinal cord enters the cranium, was forward of those of earlier hominids. The location of the opening indicated an upright posture, which suggests that our ancestors first learned to amble on 2 feet some 7 million years ago. Evolution being a slow process, it required another 5.2 million years for Homo erectus to stretch its longer legs and abjure the tree in favor of a bipedal terrestrial lifestyle. For a long while after that, it was common for human males to awake in the morning and depart the cave or some similar place of protection, to wander in search of sustenance, returning as the sun lowered to share the spoils of the forage or the hunt with other members of the tribe. Given the limits of human mobility, the males usually confined their hunts well within an area of 12 square miles. Apart from the occasional migration from one 12 square mile area to another in search of better food or more security, that constitutes the history of transportation for the vast majority of human existence. A mere 8 to 10,000 years ago, mankind learned to canoe. A few thousand years after that, the horse was domesticated somewhere north of the Black Sea. About 3,500 BC, the wheel was invented, and large animals were trained to pull people in carts. The Egyptians gave us sailing boats in 3,100 BC, and not long after that, the sailing ship. Only the fortunate, however, had access to these alternate modes of transportation, which is why so much of the action in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, 1387 to 1400, arguably the world's first road novel, occurs on foot. The stagecoach was invented in the 16th century and the steamboat in the 18th, while the steam locomotive and the first omnibuses, early forms of public transit, made their debuts in the more advanced parts of the globe in the 19th century. Still, the vast majority of people got around each day one step at a time, and they continued to do so into the 20th century, even in North America, where horseflesh and bicycles were relatively cheap and abundant. In 1885, Carl Benz built his first Motorwagen, powered by an internal combustion engine. He received a patent for it a year later. Many other French, German, and American automobile pioneers built similar vehicles in the 1890s, and some sold hundreds of units. But it was not until December 1913 when Henry Ford began mass-producing his Model T on an assembly line in Highland Park, Michigan, that the automobile ceased to be a toy for affluent adventurers and instead became a new means of transport for the masses. Cars remained an expensive proposition. The Model T cost $525 in 1913, when 50 cents an hour was a good wage. But between that year and 1930, a mere 0.000023% of human existence, the mobility of the species was revolutionized, particularly in the United States, where all but the poorest households acquired a car. In that blink of time, reported the President's Research Committee on Social Trends in 1933, the automobile had become a dominant influence in the life of individual Americans. By their own choice, they had become, in a very real sense, dependent on it. Between 1913 and 1930, manufacturers, the largest of them clustered around Detroit, sold motor vehicles into 9 of every 10 households in the land, the fastest rate of adoption of any technology to that time. Only 4 in 1,000 urban households owned horses in 1900. Vast numbers of people were now able to travel far beyond their traditional 12-square-mile perimeter, covering far more ground than could ever have been imagined on foot or even on horseback, and in a fraction of the time. The travel was almost effortless and comfortable even for small groups with large loads. It was inexpensive, once the vehicle had been purchased, and so it could be accomplished again and again. It enhanced the ability of people to do things they needed to do, whether driving to work or running errands, and to enjoy what they wanted to enjoy, whether visiting a friend or seeing the country. By improving the driver's opportunities for action at every moment and in every direction, automobiles gave people unprecedented control over time and space and, with that, a personal freedom denied the previous 7 million years of hominids. Of course, there has never been an invention universally beloved of humanity, and the automobile was no exception. Right from the start, A small minority of motoring critics were appalled to find cars roaring along public thoroughfares at high speeds, horns blaring, engines backfiring, trailing dust and fumes as they knocked carriages into the ditch, mangled dogs and chickens, and stampeded defenseless pedestrians. These critics declared cars a public menace and denounced motorists as a reckless, bloodthirsty, villainous lot of purse-proud, crazy trespassers upon the legitimate avenues of trade.